I'm Leonida Inge. This is Test It from WUNC, a look at how North Carolina is dealing with COVID-19 and what we're learning about ourselves in the face of a global crisis. Today, taking testing to the people. The heaviest burden of the ongoing pandemic in the United States is being carried by communities of color. Black, Latinx, and indigenous people are disproportionately catching the virus, and they're dying in larger numbers too. A new Washington Post Ipsos survey reveals that nearly 1 in 3 Black Americans say they know someone who has died from COVID-19. In North Carolina, Black people account for 34% of virus-related deaths, while making up only 22% of the state's population. The rising number of deaths, hospitalizations, and overall case count led Governor Roy Cooper to announce Wednesday that North Carolina will remain in phase 2 of its gradual reopening for at least another 3 weeks.
Our cautious approach here is like the dimmer switch rather than the on-off switch. Over the past weeks and months, even as we've slowly turned the dimmer switch up and eased restrictions, we've seen community spread of the virus increase in North Carolina.
Increasing testing for communities of color is key. It's been a challenge. We'll get into why in a moment. But there's at least one effort that's made some impressive headway in a predominantly Black community. It's not in North Carolina, though. For this story, we'll have to travel to Tallahassee, Florida, where residents, healthcare leaders, and state officials have found something to cheer about. The Florida A&M University football stadium is usually home to displays of athletics and a legendary marching band. Right now, it's serving as a free walk-up testing site for COVID-19. People have been showing up in droves for months, and they continue to come. Folks like Beverly Bethel.
I go to Walmart once a week, but I'm always covered. I'm always with my gloves and in my mask. But you just never know. I've known somebody who got it, was doing this very exact thing that I was doing, but they got it anyway. They tested positive. So I just thought it was my due diligence to get out here and test and see if I at least got it. I can do something about it.
Health professionals at the university came together to open the testing site. There's even a cheering squad as people make their way to a tent for water and information about how to stay safe during the pandemic. Sites like this are crucial because, similar to North Carolina, Florida has also witnessed a disproportionate number of African Americans contracting and dying from the virus.
It's important for this particular testing site to reach out to that vulnerable Black population that may not usually get that access to care that you might want, to be able to find those cases that could lead to spreading the virus in areas where it would have a dramatic impact.
Dr. Damon McMillan is the chief medical officer at Bond Community Center, a partner in testing at the football stadium. Bond is a mostly Black neighborhood near the FAMU campus.
This is an excellent location, and we've had a number of people who actually literally walked over from the surrounding neighborhoods and came in and got tested. And that's exactly what we were hoping would happen because, again, there's transportation issues, there's other things that are barriers to getting to some of the other available testing sites or ability to get it tested at their doctor's office or whatever the case might be.
I guess you don't want people to be afraid to come here because people are afraid of the virus. They think if they come anywhere near anything, oh, am I going to die? So what are you doing to make people comfortable?
So as this location is sitting on the FAMU campus, which has been here for many years. I was a graduate here at FAMU back in 1990. And I believe the people do have some trust and faith and confidence in these two organizations that they feel that this is a place where they can get the test done without being exposed unnecessarily.
This COVID testing site in this mostly African-American part of town opened April 25th. The plan was to keep it open for a few weeks. It's still open today, having tested close to 13,000 people. some folks from other parts of the city, and even folks from the nearby state of Georgia. So how have county and state health departments here at home been working hard to beef up testing? The North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services recently launched an initiative to increase access to testing and other healthcare services for communities of color.
I can see our success in just our testing numbers alone. If you compare back to April until now, that we have greatly increased COVID-19 testing throughout North Carolina. We're seeing the trends in our data because of the increased testing. I want to say from April to May, it was over 117% increase in testing, and we're continuing up that trajectory of increasing.
Dr. Cardra Burns is the Senior Deputy Director of the Division of Public Health with DHHS. The State Health Department recently partnered with more than 24 vendors, like local health departments and private businesses, to help strengthen testing. And ultimately, Dr. Burns says the goal is to reduce some of the systemic barriers creating health disparities.
We have these real barriers, particularly to basic disease prevention tools, starting from everything from implicit bias impacting our access to quality healthcare, just lack of trust in healthcare system, or just being able to access testing in their community. We know that this did not start with the COVID-19 pandemic, but we see it louder and clearer with the pandemic and how we're continuing to evolve with COVID-19. And so the department, we have been really focused in making sure that we are addressing these barriers and those historic barriers that we've seen throughout history with access to our minority populations. And we are ensuring that our communities of color are front and center in our efforts to respond to COVID-19. And it first begins with having people that look like us and come from our communities and doing this work.
Because just like you said earlier, trust is a very, very important factor in making sure, I guess, all people, of course, but especially people of color who are being disproportionately affected, that they really trust the vendor or the businesses or the different organizations you partner with for this testing. Because I know there are about 24 businesses and vendors so far that you're working with.
Yes, you know that our local health departments and those healthcare ecosystems, they are really bolstering testing on the ground and building those trusted partnerships. The ones that the department has been leveraging is some of our federal partnerships with Walmart, Walgreens, and then CVS as a corporation has looked to increase testing in various stores of theirs. Our testing sites hopefully will be deployed, that's delivered by DHHS in the next week or so. But that model is still engaging with community and trusted entities in the community, us being able to bring the resource where and when the community needs it. But those partners are so crucial, especially I'm a person of color, I'm an African-American woman, and just knowing how trust is important for our culture and making sure that our community messengers and those voices on the ground are really the ones steering the direction of where this testing should occur and why, and bringing and igniting communities to come together.
I know, because when I hear the news, I work in this medium, and when I hear the news every day, it's emotional. Mm-hmm. I don't know what to say. I think about, you know, like once after the pandemic hopefully subsides, will the health department, Health and Human Services, be able to do better, you know, in caring for this community from now on?
I look at this as an opportunity. I don't know if you recall in one of Secretary Cohen's previous press conference that I echoed, this is just one small down payment, but we really have to change our infrastructure and our healthcare infrastructure to continue to break down the barriers that we see from the structural racism, the implicit bias, and just knowing how the social determinants of health, from safe, affordable housing, employment, food security, poverty, all impacts our health. And so after COVID, how do we further break down these barriers and build a stronger, more equitable infrastructure to be able to support people of color in our historically marginalized populations?
Dr. Cardra Burns is Senior Deputy Director of the North Carolina Division of Public Health. More in a moment.
Hey, I'm Russ Henry. I work with Leonita here at WUNC. COVID-19 pretty much put a stop to the world as we know it. And while it may be the biggest news story of the year so far, it's far from the only major story we're covering at WUNC. Our team is working tirelessly to keep you updated and put headlines about public health, politics, race relations, education, and the unique culture of our state in context every single day. And we're only able to tell you these stories with your support. So if you've enjoyed this podcast or any of WUNC's other shows and content, there's a really special way to show it. Visit WUNC.org and click the little heart at the top of the page to give now. Your support as a member of WUNC is invaluable to our work and how we're able to help keep you on top of a relentless news cycle. So consider a donation after this episode ends. And as always, thanks for donating and thanks for listening.
For months now, this podcast has been devoted to telling the story of COVID-19 in North Carolina. And as our tagline promises, we've learned a lot about ourselves from the ways we've all stepped up to meet the challenges of an unprecedented moment in history. And we've learned that the story of the pandemic is not just one story. It has themes and threads that enhance the larger American narrative, just like another major story that has permeated our nation's history, race. And so it's time for something of a change to the identity of Tested. Going forward, our Tuesday episodes will remain an exploration of how the global pandemic is affecting us here at home. And on Fridays, I'll be looking at race in the South and the ways our society is being tested to reckon with the history of racism, white supremacy, and inequality. One such reckoning is happening right before our eyes here in North Carolina. Confederate monuments have been coming down across the state, from Asheville to Wilmington to our capital city, Raleigh. Workers arrived downtown Sunday morning to remove a Confederate soldier from the top of a monument on the grounds of the Capitol building. But it wasn't just a maintenance crew and observers on the street that morning. Raleigh musician Shauna Tucker was also there with her cello.
I just felt like in the morning at the crack of dawn, when everything else is sleeping, before even the crane shows up, I want to say something with my instrument. And it's almost like, you know, facing the statue is not so much to the soldier, like, you know, I know that he's an inanimate object. I know it's not a person in the statue, but it's like, I want to say this to all of the history that has brought us to this time, this moment here, where finally it's more than just me. It's more than just, you know, my stepfather who taught me and my brother all about what it means to be Black in America. But I just want to say this one thing, because after today, this statue is not going to be here anymore. And there's going to be people in this city that didn't even know that it was here to begin with. And I see you. And I want you to know that I see you. And I also see that you are finally leaving. It was important enough for me to go down and say, this is the end of an era. This is a significant thing that's happening. I need to say it with more than just my presence. I need to do more than just observe it with my eyes and just be there, you know, casually dressed. Like, I was intentional about the dress that I wore because I wanted to wear a dress. I wanted to dress up for this. This is a special occasion for me. It wasn't even so much that it was a funeral, but it was like a closure. And so, you know, I didn't feel compelled to go down there and sing. I felt compelled to not sing with my voice, but sing with my cello. That was very intentional for me. And I knew that when the statue was coming down, that for me, the song needed to be America the Beautiful. For me, playing America the Beautiful speaks to what it means to me to be an American. And that's not a narrative that I speak on a lot because I'm very frustrated with my country. I'm very frustrated with the South. I'm very frustrated with where I see myself as an American in America. And so to be able to play America the Beautiful in a way that was intentional and beautiful as this thing that was happening, as the awareness of the government ordering this statue down, not protesters coming and taking it down with a noose, not anger that's happening, but a very intentional ending of this era. It just felt right to me to sit to play that song. The words were not in my heart as I was playing, but the melody is so married to the words that it's easy for me to like to hear cello singing that story and telling that story, that narrative through the melody, and realizing that even though for me this is a finally and a give thanks moment, that for the first time in my lifetime I feel that progress is not just Black people taking inch steps forward or being allowed to do something. But for the first time in my life, I felt like this country is progressing together. And for the first time in my life, I can sing this song and feel like an American taking pride in her country, not just a Black person taking pride in her culture.
Shauna Tucker is a Raleigh-based cellist, singer, and songwriter. That's it for this episode of Tested. I'm Leonita Inge. Charlie Shelton Ormond is our producer. Lindsay Foster Thomas is the executive producer. Brent Wolf is WUNC's news director. Thanks for listening. See you next time.